Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Yes.
Under Armour will pay UCLA $67 million for the May 2020 endorsement funds, which they did not give, and UCLA sued and got one in court. So the Bruins are rich Bruins now. Very rich. Michigan State has the Supreme Court to take Title IX case when the Spartans dumped both the men's and women's programs, and the universities did not bring the correct statistics to the court, and it was claimed they were losing money, and the claim was unsubstantiated. MSU wanted to shut down the ladies' swimming team because of the incident 5 years ago, but they could not because of Title IX and equal access to the ladies. This is going to be a groundbreaking case. The Supreme Court better do it right this time. Better do it right. Kevin Durant rescinded the trade request to the Brooklyn Nets. And now Brooklyn Nets don't have to worry about losing Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, as it was there in Brooklyn, New York. The Washington Football Club owner Dan Snyder testified 10 hours before Congress, and I don't know what that is. And we have sad news from Detroit, as William White, free safety for the Detroit Lions, passed away at 56 years old after a battle of ALS, the same disease my sister passed away 2 years ago. It's an ugly disease because it cannot be a cure. Reggie in the house. Reggie, what's up, man?
Well, hello there.
What's the mystery man?
That's the mystery man. The little old mystery man. I hear you. Well, I'm hanging in there. I've just been a little under the weather of dealing with, my diabetes, you know. Yeah.
You gotta take care of it, brother.
Yes, sir. You're more than right. So you're doing the dedication to the Delphinus today?
No, tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
At 4 o'clock.
So I just caught you. I caught you today. Yeah.
Yeah. 4 o'clock Pacific. 7 o'clock in the East Coast. The great Boogie Hart and the Delphinus will be a 2-hour show.
Wow. You know that's my group. You know I always paid homage. Matter of fact, my wife,
yes, sir.
We were at a show back in 2000 here in Richmond, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
And the Nation of Islam brought the Delphinus, McFadden and Whitehead,
yes,
the Blue Note. They brought the Blue Notes, and I think it was another group that was there. And my wife got the order, the Delphinus, the head man that passed away. He autographed the very CD that you used to hear me play all the music and my Delphinus theme song. He autographed that CD for my wife.
Well, I would tell you that, Mr. Man, I always dedicate the Bemidji Hour, as you call it, the Bemidji Hour, to you, always to you.
Yeah, I always played it. I go back when I was a child in the 60s, 70s, and, you know, listening to the radio station here. At that time, we had WANT and WENZ. They were the only two black stations that we had in this area. Me and my dear sister, who passed away July the 22nd, 1986, in a terrible automobile accident, me and her, we used to listen to all of this music. My sister used to also order music, Brother Garrett, from Columbia House. You remember they used to have a catalog in the magazine?
Yes.
And she had, I don't know how many albums of all of the classic R&B, you know, that was out then. All that was out then, you know. This is the 1960s, and it's 66, 67, you know. Man,
I know a guy in New Jersey, but somebody record, he even broke my record. I gotta say, he broke my record, man.
My sister, I know I have, you know, as you know, I have over 400 albums, I believe, and I got over 608 tracks. I got some Delphonic music in there. And then I've got over 800 CDs.
I plan to be back
very soon over the internet, like you are on the airwaves over the internet. I plan to be very, very soon, you know. I just, you know, it's been a lot, you know, since my wife passed away, and I have a lot of business and stuff, you know, to get straight and all. But I'm gearing up. Like I put on my profile on my Facebook page, on the memory safe, they said about the mystery, I will return, and I will.
I'll be one of your fans, dude, immediately.
Well, hey, well, you called in when I was a guest on Preston's show several weeks ago. You called in. You're when I contacted you about it. A lot of other people, called in. But look, let me get off this phone. Right, we will, but let me get off this phone so I continue listening to the show.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir. All right. Bye-bye.
We'll continue on the show as we go. Mainly baseball, Seattle. Gets Red Castillo at a big trade Friday night. So the Seattle Mariners are going for the Western title. I don't think they can beat the Houston Astros. This is my opinion. The Angels, once again, are wasting a year with Mr. Trout and one of the best players in baseball, Shohei Ohtani, from Japan, and he's in a last place team with the California Angels. And that's a shame because this boy should be in the top 10. He should be a baseball hero, and he's nagging around with the sorry but California Angels. Last night, both the Yankees and the Mets win. The Bombers beat Kansas City 11-5 with a Abreu on the mound. 8 runs in the 8th inning, and all rise as Aaron Judge hit his 40th and 41st home run. Still on track for 61 home runs this year. The Yankees win 11-5. victory over Arizona, and the Dodgers continue to win as they beat the Rockies 5-4 last night. Milwaukee Jesus put up Boston at a 3-run in the 8th inning and a 4-1 victory over the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox are now legally dead. NBA, the Sixers are in a real problem because they have a scandal and tampering with over the Tucker Andre 2 years ago. This could be a big day for the Sixers, and the Sixers could lose Andre Tucker, but they could lose money in the process. WNBA, the season is 2 weeks away from the playoffs, and the two best teams keep winning. The Vegas Aces beat Indiana 93-32, while Chicago Sky defeat the New York Liberty 89-80. And I believe that the Chicago Sky and the Vegas Aces will be in the WNBA championship round. Only a matter of time. PGA in the Rocket Mortgage Tournament in Detroit, Michigan. Canadian Pedro Lee, Tony Finau, and Lee Hughes in the third round today. LPGA in Scotland after two rounds, and Lydia Ko lead America, Lillian Wu, by two strokes, and South Korea, Lee Young Ji, by three strokes. It'll be a very interesting Sunday in Scotland. NFL, I know it's only 4 weeks away, to get National Football League. Still no decision on Mr. Watson. And the league said it will be another week until they make a decision. I believe that Watson is going to get 8-game suspension and no money for the 8 games. The Cleveland Browns knew this, and they traded for him anyway. Then Jackson in Baltimore is still looking for a contract, and the season is 4 weeks away. They better sign this man. Best quarterback in the NFL, Jackson. And Kyler Murray brings up the issue I've been saying for many, many years. Black quarterbacks do not get respect. Black quarterbacks get double duty. And the Kyler Murray issue just brings up the point again. Kyler Murray signed the contract. In the clause, it says you had to have 1 hour, 4 hours a week of studying the playbook. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you heard a clause in a contract with my quarterback? I'm just asking. So Kyler Murray, you better do your job in Arizona this year. Well, we were one in the practice trials this week before the Hungarian Grand Prix. in the first practice, Carlos Sainz, they first seven, they second, and Leclerc is there in the first practice. The second practice, the Ferrari team with Leclerc and Sainz take the first, second practice. And the third practice is surprising. The third practice this morning, Nicholas Latifi, with his first practice of 2021. Meanwhile, Lewis Hamilton has yet to win a Grand Prix in 2020. Repeat that again. Lewis Hamilton has yet to win one race in 2022. And he's come in second place twice. And we're at the halfway point in the Formula One racing. We'll take a break and come back with the news of the week.
What's it all about? The moment we live, what's it all about? When you start it out, I'll feel, are we meant to take more than we give, or are we meant to be then I guess it is wise to be true. And if life is long, oh, you shall be. What will you name on an old open road? As sure as I feel, now there's the heaven above our feet. I know there's something much more, something
we gotta praise them, we gotta need to be called Coach Sanders. You don't need to be called Coach Prime or Coach Prime Time. No, you are Coach Sanders. That's the way you should be addressed. Because see, what's going to happen is, one day, Coach Sanders is going to be in an interview, and Smart Guy is going to be sick and call Coach Prime and not be respectful about doing it. So that's why I call Coach Deion Sanders Coach Sanders. That's his name. And that's how we should address him, Coach Sanders. All right, let's get this on. Come on.
I had a two-way goat dance. I had baseball.
Or football.
And we're going to get
you. Yeah.
You play baseball also in high school.
Yeah.
All the way up. And it's so funny because the reason our kids, I feel like, don't play baseball because ain't nobody clapping.
And you know what's
ain't no sisters out there clapping for you.
You know what's crazy, Coach? I played baseball, too. And I was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was really good. And the reason why I stopped playing, because I threw my arm out.
It's pitching.
Pitching. I was in high school throwing 86 miles, but I was in high school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I threw my arm out, and I allowed it to bring me down.
Yeah, you should have just said, I go to the outfield. That's what you should have did.
But I had this thing in my head. I just wanted to pitch. Randy Johnson was one of my favorites. You know, when it came to, you know, pitching and things like that. But, yeah, baseball was my thing as well. And I feel like if you are an athlete, and I think, you know, baseball is the thing.
This is the problem with baseball. Black fathers never played baseball. So black fathers are not pushing their kids towards baseball.
Yeah.
So when the African-American or the black, we try to be that guy, father wants to play with his son, he puts in his hands what he's accustomed to,
mm-hmm.
what he wants, in the direction that he wants him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is not the option. Back when I was coming up, we had a lot of African-Americans in Major League Baseball. Now that's not the thing because they priced us out as well. Because like when you played baseball in Little League, it was cool, probably about 150 to register, 100.
Yeah.
To play on a select team now is at least $2,000.
Wow.
2,500. So kids ain't playing. They can't afford it. They priced us out.
So you think that's a problem?
It's a problem.
Yeah.
And the Major League Baseball need to have resolution because that's a problem. That's the reason we don't play along with African-American fathers ain't never played, so they're not pushing us to that sport.
Yeah.
And that's the best sport. When it talks to benefits, when it talks to salary, when it talks to longevity. That's the best sport.
Mm. So if you got a child out there, look, you better go get yourself some water bottles and get that boy that $2,000 and put that boy out there. It's going to be worth it.
$2 million to play a baseball, raise a baseball. playing baseball. I don't see anybody out here in California. I'm just saying. We got Reggie in the house.
What's up, Big D?
God, bro, what's up?
Yeah, well, reporting you from the media football day this past Friday. Hope you had a chance to see the pictures. I had a chance to talk to those buddies.
Yes, sir.
About the national HBCU champion, South Carolina State Bulldogs. And,
yes,
you know,
sir.
Gary, the thing that got me behind the scenes, they had both teams set up in an auditorium dining room area where it could have been a very volatile situation.
Yeah.
I mean, South Carolina State was being disrespected all week. People come up to them talking about, oh, y'all, that team of Jackson State got to play.
Yeah.
And I talked to some of the players, and they just said that they were being so disrespected that they just had to go out and win this game. If you look at that game, it was a little bit of extra, can we say, hitting going on. And every time they got a chance to pop Mr. Sanders, the quarterback, they didn't let up. Matter of fact,
a couple boys
held him up while he got popped.
Reggie, what is the NBAC going to do this year with a small number of schools in their conference? They going to have a championship game in the NBAC?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Gary, I don't know if you saw my interview I did with the commissioner, the zone of the MEAC. But like she said, we're going to add schools, but we're not going to just add schools, we add numbers. It's a process of what they're going to go through, and they're going to think it's just a school, and they're not going to let the schools come in and use them as a stepping stone.
Would they invite white schools in their conference Is that feasible or not?
Well, it's all about the TV contract, Jack. If they can, like we told her point blank, me and the man Orlando, the conference needs to have their own sponsorship with an airline, number one. The conference needs to have their own sponsorship with a hotel.
Yep.
Like they got cricket sponsor. The media day, they need to have the Flames, the Southwest,
yeah,
Holiday Inn, or whatever. And that needs to be your official sponsor. I mean, the way people, you have to go out and talk to these corporate people and say, we want y'all to be our official sponsor. You know, the swag is doing
the,
it. But
the Bayou Classic, NBC, this will be 25 years.
Yeah.
No, 35 years of the NBC and broadcast the Bayou Classic.
Yeah.
Why can't the NBAC get other games like that on the air?
You got to remember, guys, these contracts are made years in advance.
Yes.
Conferences have been dropping the ball where they could negotiate their contracts years ago. You got to respect, as Dr. Fred Witt said, if you don't respect the brand, you don't make other people respect your brand. They're not going to respect you.
Yes.
So what sense does it make for ESPN is showing the CIAA Basketball Championship at 12 o'clock at night? What kind of BS is that?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense when the TV people come to these games and it's an empty stadium, and about 3,000 people disguised in empty seats. That can't happen. You know, the conference has to take responsibility for these schools to start having a crowd at these games and start having the HBCU experience. You know,
well, the reason why I asked that question is because the Big Ten kidnapped USC and UCLA and move them from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. I think that's gonna be a killer for the Pac-12 because UCLA and USC is the LA market. It's gonna kill Pac-12.
Well, see, that's why the the Big Ten said, look, we can jump on a plane and be anywhere we want between 4 and 5 hours. And we charter a plane that's quicker than that. So I think schools got to do like the NFL, line up everybody, load the buses there, load up the plane and go. You ain't got to wait. And they got the money to do it with the NCAA. It goes back to the big corporate sponsors. As long as you got big corporate sponsors, they can pay for the transportation because they want to make sure between security and the transportation, that game is going to happen. And, oh, by the way, Gary, I forgot about the betting aspect where people are betting heavy on these games.
Yeah.
So you know they
got to
make sure that everything goes over.
Yeah,
you know,
Dr.
Eva says there's a payroll to be met.
That's
by
so
any
true.
Means necessary.
That's so true. But you know,
what's
there
up,
was a question.
Dr. Eva?
What's up, everybody? What's up, Reggie?
That's
now
there's
a question.
Hey, Dr. Eva. I got my dog with me, but he riding shotgun in the car.
He got the puppy?
Hey, you seen pictures of my husky on Facebook?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
what,
he rides shotgun with me. Look, the wife at home, and I said, come on, Onyx, me and you going to roll. He jumped and said, oh, I got
there
my
ride
partner with me.
Well,
yeah,
there's a question
ahead,
I asked. This question
I'm asking you the same question.
Okay.
With USC and UCLA moving to the Big Ten, this is a death knell to the Pac-12. I think that the Pac-12 can't survive without those two teams.
Well, in addition to a cash cow or two being stolen, there's some unfinished business I got to ask Reggie about. And I think Reggie alluded to it when he was talking to you. And that is, does the CIAA have not a sponsor, but a vendor that's making stuff?
Yes.
Because Tony's point about starter jackets really hit home with me. It's like you had a company that was making stuff. So even though I was nowhere near New Haven, Connecticut, I could get a Georgetown jacket, whether I wanted to or not. It was there. And that's the issue, I think, Reggie, availability. If all of a sudden Bowie State, like you were saying, becomes a power, and they win a couple of big games, all of a sudden, Bowie State merchandise is easily found. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Now they're getting a Subway alumni. That's what Notre Dame used to do back in the day. They had fans who had no idea where Notre Dame was or care whether Notre Dame existed or not. All they know is they were a team that was winning. And so we got some of their merchandise. And that was the question that mattered to me. When the CIAA has a guaranteed revenue spot like that, then when they come to a game, or when any black conference comes to a game like the one in Meadowlands in September, we can see for sure there's going to be a whole lot of merchandise around. Or we can see there's merchandise that's going to be sold. That's a good thing. That's the best advertising you can get. So you should have it out there.
Well, I know.
In my thing, guys, if we could have, like, kids play, used to wear a North Carolina Central jacket anywhere he went. And everybody was like, oh, Central, okay, cool. I mean, when Bill Cosby lost the bet when Temple played Duke, and he had to wear that Duke sweatshirt on TV. You don't think he didn't get free advertising off of that?
I remember growing up, I could get a Grambling Tiger fan because I could get Grambling Tiger stuff. I don't know where I got it. I,
Whoa, wait a minute, Gary. You just hit it on the head. I went to see Grambling play against Portland State years ago. Now, Portland State's on the other side of the damn country. When I was there, there were hundreds of people wearing Grambling paraphernalia. You could see the big G. You could see the sweatshirts. They had caps. Even a couple of people had jerseys on. But the whole point was, it was available. It was all there for them. They were right there in downtown Portland, and you could see that it wasn't just green and white jerseys from the Portland State Vikings. There was Grambling stuff there, and they were well represented, considering that they had little fanfare, and it was just another road game. Everybody came out the woodwork. There were people there. I asked. There were some from L.A. There are others from California, one from Texas. There were many HBCU reps there. And
my one thing I remember, Gary,
Howard and Morehouse will be playing up in the Meadowlands this year, the Whitney Young Classic. I don't think I'm not Whitney Young, but they moved from D.C. Mm-hmm. to the Meadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
Got your wish, Mike. Got your wish, Gary. But HBCU football is coming back to the Meadowlands.
Yep, that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
I remember when Grambling came to Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley, and when Southern went to San Jose Dayton, and one guy over those games.
That guy, Virginia Union, beat Grambling, and that's Eddie Robinson's coach, and people cannot believe it. Little old Virginia Union beat Grambling. People were in shock.
But one thing I did notice when I went to the Grambling game at UC Berkeley, I saw every single MEAC school represented in the stands. All of them. And they were really, see, that really impressed me so much because I was support of our school. That's what we need.
I think at this particular game, we're going to see a lot more vending. You're going to see a lot of vendors be more aggressive in selling T-shirts. This is going to be like a rock concert. You know, like back in the day, you could buy an Earth, Wind & Fire T-shirt or whatever it was. You know, it's going to be something like that because there are going to be more people wanting to give more HBCU exposure, and that's a good thing. I really think, and in addition to that, you got the radio stations already backing you up. WBLS was a big supporter of the Whitney Young Classic. And they had pregame concerts and stuff like that back in the day, and it was a whole day, you know. In addition to all that, and you know, not just the battle of the bands, but you know, you got the concerts, the after party thing and whatnot, nightclubs. They had it all figured out. I think for 2 or 3 years, the Whitney Young Classic was a solid entertainment buy, and I think. If we go follow the sports entertainment edict that the professor always talks about, I think that's a good formula.
Okay. I don't want to leave it, but I got to leave it for other issues. This weekend in New Jersey, Donald Trump is going to Bedminster. My question, why would you have a tournament 50 miles away from ground zero? Are you out of your mind?
He knew exactly what he was doing. You got to remember, after the towers were hit, there was an effort to put up an Islamic training center there. Now, it was going to be like a Muslim version of a YMCA. there were activities that were planned and other things like that that didn't affect just Muslims, but the whole community. And this would have worked, but of course, you know, when the Saudis were outed for being the dirty rats that they were, when this thing came down, everybody was like, how dare you? How dare you, to quote Reggie, how dare you recognize the Muslims like that, you know, at a place of honor like Ground Zero? They knew enough. They knew enough to know that this was not going to work because somebody said location was too close to the bone, and that's exactly why it didn't work. But Donald Trump doing what he's doing, why should anybody be surprised? You know, I really don't live that far away from Bedminster. I'm about 20 minutes away from this motherfucker. But the whole point is he's going to go ahead and do what he's been doing since he came into the office. I don't think any other president has side hustled as much money out of the office as
this
Trump
guy,
has.
Cat
was right. He's going to pimp every dollar he can out of this. Remember, he even went so far as to make Woody Johnson an ambassador so you could pimp him into using the golf club out where he was in Scotland and shit to use that as one for the British Open so that he could make side money off of that. He's making a shitload of money. I don't think any other president, I mean any other president.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Jimmy Carter Jimmy Carter does Habitat for Humanity. He's building houses at like 95 years old. But this motherfucker, he's trying to get the lowest common denominator for his buck.
He's hustling. Trump Center houses at 90-something years old. Unreal.
My second issue is the Kyler Murray thing. Now, I don't know what you guys have heard about Kyler Murray and the contract.
Why in the hell did his agent put that in there? And number two, why didn't Kyler Murray pick it up?
My thing is this. No white quarterback would ever have that in his contract. Zero.
But, hey, Mike, here's my question. Why the fuck his agent didn't tell him, didn't pick it up?
My question would be, why didn't he fire this motherfucker? Because you know, it's like that was the most arrogant thing. All right, fine. You know you're supposed to do film study. Everybody knows that. Every player who's ever signed a contract knows that.
This contract was leaked to the media, and that tells me more I need to know.
That tells you that the agent and the organization were doing some dick dastardly shit. He wouldn't be the first. No, seriously. He wouldn't be the first one to have struggles with reading film and stuff like that. He probably had those issues when he was in Oklahoma. And somebody, if they're doing an analysis on him for the draft, they would have said that. Somebody chose not to say that. And they just assumed that this kid knew what he was doing because he had success on the field. So,
gentlemen, this is just the elephant in the room. When a certain quarterback in Cleveland got $200 million guaranteed, and I was kind of sour on Robert Griffin III, but I'm loving the brother now. If you check his Twitter feed, he's actually a black quarterback are being discriminated against these white defensive coordinators because of the money they're making. And why is it that the black quarterbacks are being targeted and being talked down so bad, especially when they say Kyler Murray could win 12 Super Bowls, but he still wouldn't be on my MVP list? Now, that's fucking racism right there.
That's racism, in my humble opinion.
They know these quarterbacks are making dream money, life-changing money. These guys will never, ever see in their life. And they're pissed. And they
that's
go
it,
and
that's
came.
Right. That, Reggie, that's it in a nutshell.
Trying to hurt the black quarterback.
That's everything in a nutshell right there. We are in the era of guaranteed contracts. So
yes,
when Reggie Howell signs a contract, he's going to get guaranteed money up front. Even if he doesn't get all of it up front, it's a bonus. Reggie signed for 3 years, and he gets a $15 million bonus out of the $21 million he's supposed to get. Now, that's a bonus. In the bonus frame of mind, you don't ever have to give that back. That's yours. So the organization has made a commitment to you, just like the Minnesota Vikings made with that dead roach motherfucker, Kyle Cousins. They promised him $86 million guaranteed, and he got it, and he put it in the bank. And now this is the same thing as with any black athlete. What is this nigga doing with all this money? And then, not just that, is this nigga worth the money? And then, not just that, but if he's not worth the money, how soon can we get rid of his black ass?
Hey, you know, gentlemen, what irritates me more than anything else is that they never ask a white quarterback, what you going to do with the money?
Of course.
Reggie, right about the fact that Robert Griffin is standing up, because Robert Griffin experienced that firsthand. They did a number on him in Washington, and the groove ain't shit. And the fact that he ended up standing tall at the end of it and got away from all that, more power to him. But the fact remains, Kyler Murray is going to be under a microscope because they're going to ask, can he read? And when they say can he read, that means can he read defenses? Can he read adjustments? What's he doing when he looks to his first and second and third receivers? They made it public.
It's always code. That's the code.
Made it public.
When they say can he read, that's exactly what he means. That's the code.
That's right.
And they, people got to wake up, man. You got to wake up.
They made it public. Now when the season starts and the Arizona Cardinals, who are going to have the Super Bowl in their neck of the woods, when the Arizona Cardinals start the season, now they're going to ask, did Kyler read today? You know, his play is going to be magnified even more between what he did and didn't do and what he did and didn't see than anybody else. Seriously, that's what it's going to be about.
My other pet peeve is that the Bubba Watson issue and Confederate flag popping up again. NASCAR knows better. So why are you allowing these moves to fly a Confederate flag? Look, if Germany can ban the swastika, America can ban the stars and bars. How difficult is this?
It's very difficult, Gary. Go on now. This is not Germany. See, Germany made it a moral imperative to say, if you do the Heil Hitler, if I do it or Reggie does it, we're fined. We're subject to some sort of punishment. You know, you can't walk around with that shit. In America, they are still suffering from the fact that, just like Trump, you lost. You lost the Civil War. And there's some people that will never forget that. There are people that do reconstructions of this shit every fucking year because they want to somehow try to recreate history or alter it somewhat. They're not going to get rid of this. This is not going to change. And I'm not to say that you cannot be forthright in demanding that they do. I'm simply saying that this is way more deep-rooted than whatever happened in Germany. And that's no joke.
What is it, Reggie?
Well, what I've seen right now, that number one, Trump gave these people the license for white supremacy and racism to really take the bait out when he said, build the wall.
That's
ever
right.
Since former President Obama and Michelle Obama were in the White House, they have lost their blue bunny blinking minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they have got permission. I mean, what pissed me off is when you got people on Fox, see, even Onyx is like, I'm tired of this shit with the Confederate flag. Even he's in the background.
I'm tired of it.
What's going on, in my opinion, gentlemen, that basically they have got the license. And what they would, first thing they would say is, well, we're not racist. Well, if people are not racist, why does Trump's, Anthony has a rally, attract these people to his rally? That's
right.
Question need to be asked. You know, why is every time when he comes in, we got the white supremacists and racism? So that's what gives them carte blanche to act the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And when he became president of the United States, all bets were off. As soon as he hit the white, I think my thing is, and the January thing, meaning this proves my point about this guy should be in jail. No, he should be underneath the jail. Not in the jail. He should be underneath the jail. Because
now he mean,
what he did was broke 48 laws. 48 laws. He broke.
Why are you surprised?
And he's still walking around a free man. What the hell is wrong with y'all?
This is what white males do under the yoke of white supremacy. He felt entitled to do everything that he possibly could regarding these things. He's not going to change. It's not going to change. White supremacy just had a starker look, or a more pronounced look, in it that it normally does, because they couldn't make jokes for it or they couldn't make excuses for it. It was old school racism right in your face. Like, I don't like your black ass. You're not supposed to be here. You're not worth as much as I am. All of that was part of Trump's existence during these 4 years, and black people felt it. And what was even worse, black people who should have spoke up for it, shut the fuck up. And this was on both sides of the fence, Republicans and Democrats. And it remains to this day, everybody who's talking all this shit, they really haven't said anything. All of those fake electors should have been in jail. I know that's where I would have had them. Me and Pigmeat would have been, everybody go do time today. And they would, and they all. Every one of those motherfuckers would have been in jail for fraud. What they did was election fraud. Hey, you made this big fuss about the results ain't right because of fraud. Well, here's some proof of fraud right here, motherfucker. Put these motherfuckers in jail. Now, proof, there you go. Put them in jail. Let them cool their heels there while they await their trial date. And then get to the heart of who concocted the scheme and who else is responsible for this? And anybody else would get over that.
Michael, my thing is this. It wasn't just Donald J. Trump doing this. It was Steve Bannon. It was the Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
Attorney General of Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania. What are you doing?
What do you mean what they're doing? They knew what they were doing. That's exactly what it was. It was a long, planned-out scheme to discredit the election by putting in fake results. This is no different than trying to stuff a ballot box. That's exactly what they were trying to do. And anybody who says otherwise, they're lying or they're part of this shit. So what we have left is the reality that you've committed fraud. Look up fraud. Everything about this whole thing smacks of it. You don't have to say nothing else. How did the Republicans have a set of people in here when the other slate of electors were the ones who were supposed to be legitimate ones? They go threatening some sister and her daughter because they didn't like what happened in Georgia. You know, all these motherfuckers should have been in jail. They should be under lock and fucking key. And nobody says shit. And that's why I'm too through with both parties. And like Tony said, I'm an independent, and I've been made more independent by seeing this, because all these last few days have been is mental masturbation on part of this so-called committee and the media that's trying to make it sound like they've done some work when they really haven't done anything at all.
I have two more issues, and one is Ghost Sanders. I don't know about you, but I will not be calling him Ghost Prime. I'm not going to do it. Gary Gray will call Deion Sanders Ghost Sanders from now until he retires. Here's the reason why. When you call Deion Sanders Ghost Prime, you're not respecting him. And that's what I have a problem with. I have a problem when you can't respect a black coach. And that's what this name is about. If you respect Deion Sanders, you call him Coach Sanders because he's the head coach of the Jacksonville State team. Do you call Alabama Coach, whatever his name is? Do you call that? No, you don't.
No. No.
Okay.
And I agree. Coach Sanders has earned the right to be called Coach Sanders. I don't know why they assume something else is going on. This is the issue when you have somebody who is a high-profile person who may be bigger than his position. Now, Coach Sanders has shown everybody that he is more than willing to not just assume the responsibility of coach. He has taken on the possibility of league building through Jackson State.
I'm not going to call him Coach Prime.
And he also is doing conference building and name recognition. I mean, look, we all around the same age here. I would have loved to have a Prairie View A&M jersey or sweatshirt back in the day.
Yes, sir.
Now, that doesn't mean one wouldn't have been available, but again, about the exposure thing, I'd have been like, oh, yeah, well, these guys are good.
Yeah.
That's what we need to see. That's what Coach Sanders represents. Jackson State, Alcorn State, everybody benefits from the fact that he's giving everything a little more visibility. I don't have a problem with that at all. And he should be Coach Sanders. That's his damn name.
That's right. Hey, Tony, what's up, man? Good afternoon, Mr. McLean.
Good morning.
What say ye, Mr.
Coach Sanders. I mean, that's you know, that goes. If his mama call him Coach Sanders, I'm gonna call him Coach Sanders. You know, I'm just making it pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and the crazy, here's the thing, though, guys. You know, we're basically less than a month from the first college games, and we're less than a week away from the first exhibition games, if you want to call it that. So, because next weekend, of course, pro football Hall of Fame inductees after the pro baseball.
That's right.
But yeah, you know, the last, it's ironic, you know, the last HBCU media day was this week with the MEAC, and I guess there's been this scuttlebutt about merging the MEAC and the SWAC, and pretty much both conferences have pretty much squashed it for the time being. And, you know, it's.
I think it would be good. You're not gonna survive on your own. You need to help each other out. But see, Gary, here's the thing.
The SWAC is doing fine.
Yeah.
It's not the SWAC problem. You know, clearly it's the MEAC that is trying trying to get their act together. The SWAC is fine. To be fair, it's not a SWAC issue. The SWAC has done fine on its own. Now it's the MEAC. Now again, look, I've had this conversation or variations of this conversation for like 15, 20 years, and I go back and forth with it. I understand why the conversation is out there, because we see the white schools basically trying to divvy up all the money amongst themselves. The more and more I think about this, I'm a slave to, you know, the history as well. The thing is, you have to remember, historically, the core four in HBCU sports have always had like a Negro League existence in the sense of, you don't want us, fine, we'll do our own thing and we'll be better and just as good. Now, yes, we have seen schools leave black conferences and go to white conferences. You see, you know, your AT&T at Big South, Hampton is on its third conference now, leaving the Big South to go to the CAA. And we still hear rumors about Howard and other schools. What was interesting in listening to the MEAC commissioner this week, Ms. Siles, they're basically saying we're gonna ride it out. You know, they're not really giving you an idea of who they're gonna try to bring in or whatever. But at this point in time, right now, they are basically, and I don't know if it's more defiance as opposed to they're sort of hamstrung in what they can do. But that being said, they're basically going to ride this thing out and see where it takes them. Again, there's all sorts of rumors about them, you know, possibly going after some CIAA or SIAC teams. And we've seen them do that, and unfortunately it hasn't played out well. The SWAC, if you look, clearly the SWAC is the best football conference in HBCUs. But in that same vein, it's not just one of the best HBCUs. It's one of the best football conferences in the country, Division I, right. Division II, Division III, NAIA, what have you. And I think that's the thing that's got some of these white schools panties in a bind. It's because even with what little bit Sanders has done, I think the one thing that's undeniable is that he's not only fired up the white schools, but he fired up the other black schools too. Not that they needed firing up, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, you know, again, that whole the enemy of my enemy is my enemy sort of deal is basically what's going on in the SWAC. Now, they won the SWAC last year, and there were some butthurt coaches along the way. Now they get their opportunity to whatever. Now, you know, everybody's, you know, you see that, you know, there was a lot of movement this past year, coach-wise. You know, Dooley going to Southern, Hugh Jackson going to Grambling, which still leaves, I'm not really sure how that's gonna work. But, you know, you had your old standbys, you know, and see, the best thing that probably happened to HBCU football last year was the can and a half of ass whooping that South Carolina opened up, South Carolina State opened up on Jacksonville for the championship game. I know I sound like a broken record when I repeat it, but it bears working out. About 6-7 years ago, when maybe probably farther back than that, but when Winston-Salem left the CIAA, went to the MEAC, and then basically came back, the first thing out of a lot of coaches' mouths was, well, they're bringing a Division I school here in the CIAA. That ain't fair. And the commissioner of the league at the time, of course, Leon Carey, he wasn't like, oh, they're Mr. Bowie State or Mr. Shaw or Mr. You know, his thing was more like, you need to shut the hell up and recruit. Because the only way that we're going to get national recognition, the only way that you're going to get national recognition is to go out and recruit. You know, say what you want. Say what you want about, you know, Connell Maynard. Say what you want about Coach Sanders. Say what you want about Buddy Pough, whatever. But the one common denominator that all of your elite coaches have is that they can recruit. Now, I think it's probably premature to put Deion as a premier coach status quite yet, because you know he is still a newbie in all of this. Mm-hmm. But that being said, recruiting is half the game in especially in the HBCUs. But see, now you throw in the NIL factor. The transfer thing basically is now on steroids to a certain extent. To me, again, it makes for a level playing field. And again, to me, that's what Coach Saban and the other white coaches are upset at, is that now these kids aren't. They're still gonna get their McDonald's All Americans and their whatever. But some of them Hardee's ones, some of them Burger King ones, hell, even some of them Piggly Wiggly ones may wind up going to may go to an HBCU along the way. And well, I don't know if they still do. I did it for effect, but you know what I'm saying. The main thing is there is somewhat of a level playing field now under recruiting end. And see, that's something
which
they don't want.
They're pissed off.
Because
my whole thing is, why is Jackson State in your mouth? You're not
That's
playing.
Right.
You're not, it's not like you're planning to play them.
What are you
year.
Upset
you
about?
Were,
exactly.
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
what's
what,
bugging
you? Know, it's, like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's not like you're. It's, and again, it's not like you're playing Alabama A&M or Alabama State. Now Southern is playing LSU this year at Death Valley. So what happens? You know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, with the new coach. With the background,
mm-hmm.
you know, they probably, you know, unfortunately, you're probably never going to really get rid of the money games. But,
no.
And again, I think this is something that Sanders and other coaches have been saying, let's play amongst each other and keep the money for ourselves. Now, look, would Southern put more in their pocket by playing LSU at Death Valley as opposed to, say, playing Winston-Salem, coming to Winston-Salem? Probably not. But here's the thing. And again, this is where I go back to the Negro League roots, and I really feel like it's something that they should, you know, think about. It's a money issue. We all know it's about the haves and the have-nots. You know, Wu-Tang Clan has chronicled this very succinctly over the years. I don't need to re-up what they've said. All the more money to why they should play, why basically we should play against each other. But unfortunately, there's so much inner strife amongst each other that, you know, this is what causes that. And even if they did have sort of a kumbaya moment, there probably would still be money games, maybe not quite as many. You know, the money games are never going to completely be eliminated as much as we would like to. But
there'll be less of them, though.
Well, and especially if somebody, you know, has a Howard moment, has a Appalachian State moment, you know, has a Central Michigan moment, because look, it's well chronicled. After App State beat Michigan, you know, App State is not, you are no longer welcome here in the great state of Michigan.
That's right. Fuck you.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But App used that, and now App is a 1A. You know, they went to their first bowl game, I think it was last year or 2 years ago,
through
the Sun Belt. So. To a lesser extent, Clemson too, because Clemson wasn't a made man, but
they
bumped up the schedule. And see, that's the thing. You know, I mean, the ultimate is Florida State. You know, Florida State, when all those years when they were independent, they said, we will play anybody. And he put his money where his mouth was, and they parlayed that into becoming who they are. And to me, I don't think I'm being Pollyanna when I say this, it can happen to any of these ones. I mean, I don't want to get into a whole Jiminy Cricket here. It can happen to you if you That being said, how much are you willing to go there? Now, the closest that we've seen to doing this, good, bad, or indifferent, is Mr. Harvey down at Hampton. They're willing to do what it takes to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
A&T is beginning to say they do.
Yeah, and they're also getting the respect by the, you know, they were just picked to win the Big South in just their second year, and that's big volume.
Now that's respect, but we have to remember this: NIL stands for Negroes is Liquid. Now the brothers are going to get some money, however amount it is. It's not going to be as much as some of the others, but they're going to get some. And because they're going to get some, all the fucks at the NCAA are pissed at the idea of these young people getting paid to do what they should have been doing all along. That's right, getting paid. They are de facto employees of where they go to school, and they should be compensated as such. And now that they are, just like Blazing Saddles, well, what's going to happen to our phony baloney jobs, gentlemen? Frump, 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 frump. there's going to be a lot of humps before they come to some sort of way that they can equalize this. But make no mistake, NIL is here to stay, and now the HBCUs and smaller schools have to make this work. So they can't spend wildly. It's just like anything else. Their money must be spent judiciously to get the max effect out of it.
Well, it's, you know, it's you're seeing it on smaller levels to a certain
mm-hmm.
extent. But see, again, mm-hmm. what bothers these white schools is that now they're not, you know, that top recruit now has more options now. And
yeah.
I don't know if y'all saw the article on HBCU.com where Deion Sanders went after the governor of Mississippi. What it was, the refund checks for the players and families are coming in late. And they said, wait a minute now. Now we got office people and government people getting their checks when they're supposed to for the payroll and for the government. But yet when it comes to these students and the families, all of a sudden there seems to be a delay. Now, I'm not saying that some of the big boys don't get together and talk to the politicians, but something is rising in the cot. Can you help a brother out here?
Well, no, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised mm-hmm. because, see, look, who are a lot of your boosters? You know, folks that's got some money, folks that have influence.
Power and political connections.
Sure. Because, see, look, at end of the – look, if you remember the whole SMU thing, it was a pissed-off booster who was a low – I think he was, like, a part-time – he was, like, a lowly congressman or something like that, like
that's
a all-time
right.
man.
Yeah,
something to that effect. So, yeah, it's no surprise. But see, again, I'm sure – let's put it this way. I'm sure Ole Miss and Mississippi State and some of those other white schools in Mississippi didn't have a problem with, you know, all of a sudden. And the funny thing is, it wasn't MIL money. It's financial aid money.
Yeah.
But see, the fact that people are trying to sort of make it out like that it's an NIL issue. It's a financial aid issue, and every one of us who's ever gone to school knows what financial aid
yes,
is extremely mm-hmm. important. And
yep.
and all he's basically saying is, if you're messing up their financial aid stuff, it's affecting us.
Yep.
The messed up thing is that he shouldn't have to be going to the state of Mississippi. That should be something that they should be getting done. But when you realize that everyone and everybody is going to try to find their way to unneutralize the playing field, you get situations like this. But that's what, you know,
Well, have you guys heard about the Michigan State lawsuit?
What is it? What's it about?
Michigan State filed the Supreme Court this past week about their Title IX issue, and what happened was, Michigan State canceled their swimming program and their outdoor sports program. It affected all female athletes at that campus.
Mm-hmm.
This is an end run after that episode with that monster in Michigan State.
Yeah, episodes more, you know. But
yeah.
Again, you know, in a way, this is what's happening it's sort of like what's going on with Jackson State and some of these other HBCUs. This is their way of, you know, trying, like you said, this is their way of sort of getting back at the folks who how dare they expose this guy, because remember, he got away with that for like almost 2-3 decades.
Yeah.
I mean, he was basically his own. He was basically another version of Sandusky, but he had even more act. But his was going after females.
And you see
they do it during the time when Title IX is celebrating their 50th anniversary as well. So things aren't done. Something like that isn't done.
It's in a vacuum. No.
And look, see, speaking of Title IX, how about Danny Boy Schneider have testified for 11 hours on his cruise? I mean, And the comfort of his lawyer sitting next to him and him to meet a short drinking Mai Tais while he was talking.
Well, unless he, you know, has anything been released from it?
Nope.
No disrespect. Until I hear something that comes out of it, you know, he can have a Kool-Aid Mai Tai as far as I'm concerned. Let something come out of it. You know, I mean, if it
sounds
good,
you know,
the
Kool-Aid
Mai
Tai.
I think what the NFL is trying to do, and they won't come out and say it. The NFL was designated 19. That's what they want. They want their out of the league. This is the way to do it.
Well, they want they need a human sacrifice in this. And he's about as top of a candidate as you can get.
They can't rule themselves, Gary. That's the problem. I mean, how are you going to tell a big
man?
Hold on, G. How are you going to tell a billionaire, oh, you must behave? There are other billionaires you also have to tell, oh, you must behave. And you pay one guy millions to say, oh, you must behave. How many do you think are really going to listen to what they have to say? I think Tony said it. Kraft is up for Hall of Fame this year. Who's gonna vote him in? Or let's put the better question is, who won't vote him in? You know? It's bullshit. And Reggie said it when he made the mention about Snyder. Now, quietly they should have been saying to Snyder, you know, don't say nothing.
We're gonna see
if we can get somebody to buy your fucking franchise. You made your money, you invested $800 million, your franchise is worth $5 billion now, you made your profit. Now move on and go somewhere else. And sell this to Elon Musk or Bezos or whoever the fuck else wants a team. You know, that's the bigger issue. They can't self-medicate themselves. They got to make sure it looks like it's adjudicating fairly. They're not going to be able to do this because you've got billionaires being told by millionaires to shut the fuck up, and it ain't happening.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, we've got Kraft doing stuff. We got Jerry Jones doing stuff. We got Daniel Snyder doing stuff.
But
you cannot tell me that that's not factoring into this final decision for Watson.
Crown in of his coat. He had a death on his watch. Don't forget him.
Well, no, I'm just – no, see – hear me out. The reason why I'm saying the three of them, because they were all involved in sexual stuff.
That's why.
I mean, look. But I'm just saying, because again, whether the NFL wants to buy into it or not, once again, their reputation, as shaky as it is mm-hmm. is on the line here, because mm-hmm. if they sort of allow, you know, I guess the Jones thing sort of got settled out of court to a certain
yes.
extent. Same thing with Kraft, but this is going to be basically the third thing on there, and also the other wild card in this is that, you know, the whole Gruden thing, because you got to know that Gruden knows where the where some barriers where some bodies are buried as well.
A whole heap of bodies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's and see, here's the thing. What's so funny here is, I mean, it's beyond white privilege, because Snyder wants to keep his team no matter what, and
mm-hmm.
Gruden wants to get his job back
no matter what. Mm-hmm.
But the media and everyone will make it out that, like, you know, that, you know, Watson is the Antichrist and he's the, you know, whatever. And again, no one is condoning what Watson allegedly may have done, which gets flimsier and flimsier every day, because
mm-hmm.
you know, it's, you know, now it's all civil suits, and when it's all just civil suits, that should be a big red flag that, okay, these women are trying to get paid. They're not really, you know,
trying to
work.
Hey, Jody, why did they it'll be 2 years. What do you
mean 2 years for? Well, no, because again, I got to go like I just said, because if he's not, just at the very least, if he is punished on a higher level than the guys who are owners of the teams, then it's, you can see again, there's a lot of factors working here. I said this the other night. They can't Ray Rice this thing away.
No.
They can't. They can't just give him, say, 3-4. Exactly. The only part of Ray Rice that they want is they want to be able to make a decision and then have the right
mm-hmm.
to change that decision if some other stuff comes out. But no, they you know, that's not happening again. They've already messed that up forever. That will never happen. But see, that's
yes.
why they've got to, quote unquote, get it right the first time. But
yes.
You know,
about lawyers. They play lawyer ball with this, and playing the role of Johnny Cochran was Rusty Harden, who turned out to be Watson's lawyer, who played the deal for him in the manner it did. Now, if all of this has come out to just civil suits, then it's a matter of just writing checks and then trying to put on a veneer of law enforcement by saying, Watson, you're going to sit out the next 6 games for whatever.
Right.
But the bottom line is everything has been cleaned up. Watson is not a pariah. He's not a criminal, because they had to clean up other people's shit, which turned out to be worse than what Watson did. And if all that were to come out, the integrity of the game is put under the microscope. And they don't want that happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That whole, you know, put it this way, that shield is becoming more like Linus's security blanket, and it's got a bunch of holes in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Got a whole bunch of holes. But no, that's, you know, I really, you know, the more and more I think about this, Mike, I really think that's the reason why we haven't had a decision yet. Because, let's put it this way, they can't give him a year. Because in a sense, they've already done that.
He was already given a year. That's exactly right. Just hanging in limbo as all this was shaken out.
But they also can't do that whole thing of, well, for time served, you took your year off, because there's going to be, because someone will get upset. But
no, he'll get weeks, like you said. I think 8 weeks would be fair. And
everybody will say we did
this and everything got done and blah blah blah. God, apple pie, the American way is all settled.
Yeah, but
I think you should get zero, because to me, He's already paid the price.
I agree with you 1,000%. But see, they can't put it this way. The only way he doesn't get a whole, or he doesn't get anything this year, they're gonna have to put it this way. They're gonna have to come up with some incredible Steven Spielberg, M. Night Shyamalan stuff to whatever. Put it this way, the deposition is probably going to have to be longer than the actual suspension if he winds up getting. He's going to get some game. They're going to, you know, let's put it this way, I would be incredibly shocked if he didn't get some games. But see, again, they can't give him the knee-jerk Ray Rice 2-game suspension and move on for some milk and cookies. The NOW won't have it. And see, they're all about you know, they want to win the court. Remember now, mind you, this is not anything to do with morals. Surprise. No. They want to see the thing with the NFL is they always try to win the court of public opinion, and they can't with this. They really can't, and I think they know that.
Because they got too many fish in the pot.
It's like the old Eddie Murphy line. Oh, so many skeletons. Yeah.
Speaking of gospel, this week is the trade deadline. We had to watch the Angels, Royals, Reds, and Oakland A's, and maybe the Boston Red Sox to unload the wagon this week. My thing is, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani need to get out of California, because the Angels ain't gonna go nowhere with that team.
Well, it depends on what kind of package they can get. I mean, every time I turn on MLB Network, they're doing a package on either Ohtani trade or the Soto trade or whatever. Now I see Seattle went out and got Luis Castillo. Great move by them, because it lets you know, okay, we see, in many ways it's not even going to be about the players. It's going to be more about what how these teams see themselves. Because say you're the Red Sox. Now, basically, the Red Sox have gotten their ass beat so much the last week or so. You know, they were like somewhat in the race, but then they ran into a horrible stretch, culminating in that ass whooping of major proportions to Toronto. Yeah. They probably scored a couple more while we were talking as we speak. But where do they go? Here's the thing: Devers and Bogart's contracts are up.
Yep.
So now, do they do
Oakland,
the Boston thing?
Oakland is gonna get rid of their best pitcher they got. Like, what are you doing?
Gary, you, come now, Gary. You can't be surprised at this now.
What have they been doing? Tony, do you know how many fans ran over Coliseum this week?
12. Gary, I'm going to give you this one-time offer on national radio. No. It's got nothing to do. You're, you know, the A's have done you wrong. They've done you and sure. all 12 of the other fans
Even
wrong.
Trey Mason knows that.
I am willing, out of the goodness of my heart, to open up some extra seats on the Mets bandwagon for the rest of the season. so you don't have to suffer. Go ahead.
Joni, I've been a Mets fan.
You're saying that, and I want to believe that, but
I've been through it, Gary. Listen to T. He cured me. I've been through it.
Look. All I'm saying is,
my neck about that. I'm the team in Dallas anymore. I'm cured, Gary. I'm cured.
I'm not going to ask you to make a decision today. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you till the day after the trading deadline. I'm going to give you till the day after the trading deadline. It's a very, I'm no lawyer, and I don't play one on TV, radio, or the internet. But
I watched baseball this week.
You weren't watching baseball, Gary. That's my point. And again, if you take this offer, you'll be able to see at the least three more former A's play on a nightly basis. But no, think it over.
See, I'm telling you, he throws something to me.
Look. All I'm saying is, Gary, the offer is out there. I'm doing this because I love you like a brother, and I know rooting for the A's has not been fun. You know, it's not. All I can ask is that. Embrace the blue and orange. That's all I'm saying.
I've been bleeding blue and orange since 1968.
I'm not talking about the Islanders, Gary. I'm talking about the baseball team.
No picture.
Yeah. Again, the offer is out there. I can write up the papers very quickly. You don't have to sell anything. You don't have to buy anything.
Just sign like blood.
I'm like Lloyd to Lubbock. Shake this man's hand, and you won't have to worry about anything else for the baseball season for this year. And I'm not like Don King, where if you shake his hand and you get back four fingers, be happy. I will give you some of the extra fingers from Joey the finger and his wife's lady fingers if you do this. But again, the offer stands midnight the day after the trade deadline. Strictly up to you.
You can officially
make your decision on Mike's show on Wednesday.
Go down with your ship, guys.
The offer, my final words. The offer is there for you.
All right, the offer is there.
I gleefully wait for your response.
Thank you, Mr. Beaverbone.
David, what's the next big trade in Major League Baseball? Who's going to go where Wednesday?
You know what? I have a feeling that the Phillies, who love to spend money on white players, will spend it on another one. They'll get Mike Trout, and they'll pair him together with Bryce Harper. And they'll try to run that to the nth degree. They'll try to do the Batman Robin thing.
Where's Otani going?
Right now, I'm not talking about Otani. I'm talking about Trout.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Otani
is going to go anywhere because.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Because it's going to be tough. Because his greatest asset is going to be probably the reason why he won't get traded. It's because you're basically trading. Just take the money and all that stuff out of it. You're basically getting a Cy Young caliber pitcher and a 5-tool fielder / DH.
That's a bargain.
Unless you're willing to basically give up your top five prospects, and you see, you're gonna have to give up at least one everyday player here. See, they're not gonna take a package. They're gonna want, game recognizes game. They're gonna want at the very least a guy that's gonna play every day. You can give prospects up the butt. But they're going to want.
If this guy were in Chicago or New York, he would be a national baseball champion.
Well, here's the thing. Where does he go? Where does he go right now that he would be guaranteed to win the World Series? Give me one team.
Yankees.
See, I don't go. No. Even with that, I mean, it's basically him and Cole, and then, I mean, with all due respect to Nasty Nestor, you guys still don't have a real bona fide starter after that. I mean, look, y'all can beat up on the Royals 13-12 during the regular season. You're not gonna be able to do that during the postseason. Gary, I can get a couple guys, from the local YMCA, probably knock off the Royals right about now. No disrespect to the Royals.
For real.
All I'm saying is we've sort of seen this with the Yankees for a while now where they look like they're going to just kick all sorts of ass all the way, but they still haven't addressed the elephant in the room. And that's the bullpen will be fine once Chapman comes back, but they may trade water. But see, what winds up happening, and it's the same thing with the Mets. The closer is not the problem. Getting to the closer is the problem.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Now the thing with them, see, the guy they should have got to me is in Seattle right now. Because to me, if they had added Castillo, I'd have said, okay. But see, now there's still somebody out there that could possibly get that could be a game changer here. But that's the thing. They don't need to feed the lineup right now, for the most part. Their thing now is they've got to shore up a pitch, they've got to show off their pitching staff. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I'm still trying to, Buck is doing stuff with Mears. I don't know how he's getting 6-7 innings out of a lot of these guys. Now, apparently DeGrom comes back this week. And for whatever it's worth, now how effective is he going to be? Because he, pitching simulated games is nice, but when you got to go up against real guys, and remember, they, the world champs, show up on the next Thursday, next weekend. It's another 5 games in 4 days with the defending champs. So
okay, I'm gonna give you a couple of names. I want to see if you know who these guys are. AJ Plutton, Mingo Acevedo, Samuel, Kirby Snead, Austin Buehler, Frankie Montas.
They all sound like future former Oakland A's. I watch my team, but I try to watch everybody, and it's like I said, look, Oakland basically. Phoned in the season in spring training for the most part, unfortunately. But see, here's the thing. You wouldn't mind it as much if they were saying, we're going to build around these guys. But see, all they're going to do is just, tease you, basically, show you how good they are, and then when they want to make more than...
3 years and bye-bye.
And then when they want to make the league minimum,
I look at his salary. Only one player over $1 million. One. Frankie Bota. That's it.
And trust me, he's renting, not buying.
That's right.
He's renting, he's not buying. I mean, you see, the thing is also, the one thing you also got to be aware of, I look at this week as Super Bowl week, as draft week, because you're going to get all sorts of lies, damn lies, and statistics during this week. Now, the latest rumor is that the Padres are hot for Soto.
I don't believe that at all.
Well, see, what's even crazier is that later on last night, there was a story out there now that's saying, well, the Nationals are going to give him one more offer, and if you don't like it, they're going to trade him. Just go ahead and trade him and stop the owners are trying to get out of pocket. They don't want to whatever. See, like I said, I would love to see him. The learners are trying to sell, and they basically want to sell with a clean slate, so to speak, which to me is kind of silly, because if and when you trade this guy, who becomes the face of your franchise?
Nobody.
Yeah, I guess, Steven Strasburg?
Hey, look, they screwed that contract up. I'd be the face of the team. Who told them to pay a wounded? His resume is that he pitched on the World Series. I mean, come on, that's like a cup of coffee and get you a World Series.
And see, the sad thing about Strasburg is, this is my own opinion, I really feel like that when they shut him down a few years back, even with winning the World Series, I don't think he ever really recovered from that.
No,
I don't think he ever really recovered from that. I really never felt like he recovered from that. When they shut him down, when they shut him down pretty much at the peak of his powers, all because they didn't want to, do the whole inning thing. I think it messed with him. Now, granted, they were able to get a little bit more out of him and able to parlay that into a World Series. But see, the sad thing with them is that they've always sort of cried poor. You know, they didn't want to pay Max, they didn't want to pay Bryce Harper, they didn't want to pay Trey Turner, and basically they don't want to pay Soto. So.
Exactly.
So at least they're somewhat doing the honorable thing of, like, you know, we don't want to pay nobody, so we're getting out of this. Let's find somebody that can pay them. And see, They're probably more Marlins than A's, but you know, as much as I can blame Major League Baseball for a lot of things.
Yes, sir.
I can't blame them for the way that these teams are run, because see, here's the thing. You always have to remember. Everybody, you know, talks about how bad the Pirates were from 92 to like the early 2000s. The Pirates not only made a profit, but opened up a new damn stadium in the process. We all know what the A's haven't done over the years. Now the Royals, bad, good, win a World Series, bad again. And let's use the Orioles. Mediocre, decent, bad, really bad. Now they're back up again. Can I blame Major League Baseball for that? I can't. That's all. End of the day, these teams, you know, look, they're willing to take the welfare money from the Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Cubs, but it still goes down to what you're going to spend your money on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing, you know, look, as much as we know Steinbrenner is getting sodomized in hell, the man put his money with the team.
And you did.
He did.
They won games too.
Well, the thing, he made them relevant. Nobody talks about the Yankees of the 80s anymore.
Mm-mm.
Every time you talk about the Yankees, they go from 96. It's like when Germany doesn't talk about the country from 1939 to 1945 for obvious reasons. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody talks about the Yankees from 81 to 94, basically.
Yep.
Nobody talks about those Yankees. Those, you know,
Yankees from 64.
Exactly. But see, the thing is, he always kept them relevant and all while taking care of these other teams, so to speak, because they've, you know, they'll go, they, you know, and many, you know, look, the Dodgers are even more ruthless than they are, because the Dodgers have gone over their cap a bunch of times, and they've only got one World Series.
Man, they got Mookie Betts. Oh God, you gotta be kidding me!
But they win. But what did Mookie do though? Mookie helped them win a World Series, and could possibly help them win another one this year.
Yeah.
See, look. If you look, end of the day, look. Would you like to see at least the A's stay pat and let these kids develop? The very
and see,
therein lies the problem. They don't even want to do that.
They don't care. And
it goes back to my thing. Do you blame Major League Baseball for that, or do you blame the alleged owners of this team? Yeah, look. I can blame Major League
Baseball. Allow the owners to do this.
Okay, so what do you want them to do?
You can't do that in football.
I understand that, Dad. But what do you want Major League Baseball to do?
Okay, a couple years ago, they had three guys in the outfield. I forget the names. But these three guys, so good. It was good, every single one of them. And the next year, they were last place again. I'm like, come on, man.
But see, again, guys, I hear the lamenting, but, and I don't want to... What do you want Major League Baseball to do? Because, remember, 3 years ago, the Florida Marlins had two MVPs and an All-Star in their outfield. Yelich and Ozuna. Neither one of them has an address in Florida as we speak. You know, the Colorado Rockies basically gave Nolan Arenado away for a lifetime supply of Chris the Quake.
Extra baseman in baseball, yeah.
Sure. I can go list versus whatever. Again, what do you want Major League? And again, I can blame Major League Baseball was in the grassy knoll in 63. I can blame Major League Baseball. I can say Major League Baseball introduced John Lennon to Yoko Ono.
How do you fix this?
But see, here's the thing. Therein lies the problem. This is what the Mets were dealing with the Wilpons. If y'all are crying poor, sell the damn team.
Man, thank you.
That's all.
I went to the Coliseum. I went to the Coliseum a couple weeks ago.
Did they ask to see if you could play third just for the hell of it too?
Yeah, bring us glove.
Yeah. But no, look.
I mean, the ceiling is coming down. It's like, what are you doing?
Unless you've got people that are dedicated to the franchise and are dedicated to the city of Oakland, this is going to continue to happen. Bottom line,
let me get some of this for a sec here. All right,
sure.
Gary, you got to think about this. Arte Moreno owns the Angels.
Yes.
Good jobs of money trying to get a champion. He got a champion 1 year, but he spent a shitload of money to get it. Peter Angelos spent a whole lot of money. He's still looking. Now he got the stadium. He got the atmosphere. He got all your shit. He got people in the stands, but he didn't get a championship. He's still looking.
Yes.
You know, I can't think of one ace player that I can wear on a jersey, and neither can the A's. They sold them all. So if you're asking what do you expect the owners to do, you got to also look at what the owners did. The A's owner did nothing. The Angels owner came up short.
Yeah.
The Orioles owner came up short.
Yeah.
We talked last week about who spends their money the best. Now, this was all wasted cash. Even the Phillies wasted money, spending all that money on Bryce Harper. And if they were to entertain getting Mike Trout, which is something they want because he's a Philly kid or from the area, they would have wasted more money on white boys who are possibly past their prime, and they'll say, forget the championship. We'll make up for it in jerseys.
And Mike, I don't know cap wise if they can do both Trout and Harper. That's a good question. That is a lot of money.
Yep.
Because here's the thing. I believe Castillo and Schwarber's contract is going to come up soon too.
There you go.
So
I mean, think about that.
Well, the trade deadline. It's not as cut and dry as it was back in the day where you would, you know, you could get prospects. But, see, the guys you're trying to trade now, you've got to get pound for pound. I mean, maybe not exactly, you know, put it this way.
But
whoever
you're right.
Whoever gets Ohtani –